No need to introduce my guests because you both know them. Simon McCorkendale and, of course, Susan George. Susan, I'm going to concentrate on you mainly because I want to talk to you about your role of president of Horse of the Year show, how you got involved with Horse of the Year show and what it means to you.
9 years ago is when we began this process, and 9 years ago the show had a huge revamp in terms of everything in life. After a while, all of us gets tired and needs a sort of facelift, and the show really needed some energy, and the people that came in, the entrepreneurs that came in to do just that at the time, Mark Ween, who's here to this day fantastically, and his partner at that time, Mike Gill, they came in and they really revamped the show and did some wonderful things. We tried to make it an extravaganza, something different. My role here is as ambassador for the show, and that was decided upon 9 years ago. They asked me if I would do this in an honorary capacity, and of course I'd do anything for the equine industry in an honorary capacity because it means so much to me. The horses mean so much to me. More importantly for me is to be ambassador of this show and to encourage people to come, and that's not necessarily the people that are already the converted, and there are plenty of you that are the converted, the people that love horses and come all the time because you want to anyway. But for me, my role here has been to, and will always be, to put bums on seats, to bring people here that have never been before and never thought about how beautiful these creatures are that we know and love and ride and get so much fun out of. That is what I need to do, and that's my ambassador's role here, is to bring other people to the show and get everybody, get the world to love horses as I do.
You obviously have a very strong passion for horses, especially the Arabs, and we'll just to touch on that, especially with the Georgian Arabs, if you've got. Are you still showing Arabs yourself, or do you have Arabs still in competition?
Most definitely, absolutely. We had a young boy here this year. We have a stud farm in Somerset, Simon and myself, called Georgian Arabians, georgianarabians.com, if you should want to go and visit. And there are many, many pictures on there of our Arabian horses. We have 58 horses at home, 49 of whom I bred. And as my husband said to me this year, I delivered my 69th foal personally. So that was quite a feat. I was very, very thrilled about that. So I've been doing this for a very long time, as you know. I actually have loved horses all my life, since I was a little tiny toddler riding with my mother on Chobham Common on a little pony called Rusty. And since then, when I was in California, I fell in love with a 7/8 Arabian mare, and my boyfriend at the time bought her for me as a present when I was 23 years of age. That's when my passion really became about for the Arabian horse in particular. And now, of course, we've been breeding now for over 15 years. And that's why we have an accumulation of so many beautiful horses. And I do love these horses. I did a recent interview for Horse and Hound, and I'm always trying to tell people about the beauty of the Arabian horse, although I photograph the Arabian horse for its beauty, and they are exquisite creatures to look at. They are also much, much more than that. And in a way, their beauty is somewhat of a stigma, because people think of them as beautiful horses that do very little else. And they do a lot more than just look pretty. They are incredibly versatile, unbelievably powerful, and athletic. And they're great for all sports, and that's what they should be being used for. And that's what my belief is, and that's what we do. So we do lots of riding horses, and indeed we had a riding horse here day before yesterday. And the half-brother of that riding horse was reserve champion here 4 years ago.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
That you're well respected, obviously, in the question circles, because all you've done for the world of Arabs and, of course, Horse of the Year show. But more important, well, not more importantly, but as importantly, you're obviously very well respected for your career as an actress. Now, I just want to go back to a few years, because I hope I'm right on this, but most people think that Susan George first came into the world of acting at 12 years of age in The Sound of Music. But I've got a little sneaky feeling it was at the tender age of 4. In a Horlicks commercial that you first went onto the television. Now, your father was a musician as well, wasn't he? Was Mum involved in the world of entertainment?
Oh, for sure. She had a wonderful, wonderful personality, and she and her family were into musical comedy for years and years. My father, indeed, was a jazz musician. And so the show business was definitely in our blood. And you're right, I did do a Horlicks commercial at the tender age of 4. Absolutely correct.
I wonder whether anybody's still got that on film anywhere.
Well, you know what? It was a live commercial. And
right.
At that time, commercials were done in a live capacity. And there was a big stage, and I had to run onto this stage, and I had to drink a little cup of Horlicks. And I had to drink the cup of Horlicks and go, ooh, Horlicks. This was my big role. And I came rushing onto the stage, and of course it wasn't Horlicks, because they never did those things. Just like my Sharps toffee, that was all cardboard little boxes. I was very upset by that too, yeah, as a child. But this, I came running onto the stage, and I went, ooh, that's not Horlicks. So my debut was giving away the whole act, I'm afraid.
Once you did that, you obviously got a taste for your career. As I said, you went into The Sound of Music at 12, and then a year later, you were into Swallows and Amazons at 13, and then Cup Fever 2 years after that. Is that correct?
18 months I was in The Sound of Music for, actually, which was... I was very responsible for myself from a tiny age, because my parents couldn't afford to put me through the kind of school and the things that I wanted to do. I wanted to go to acting school, and they couldn't afford to do all that, so I had to really do it based on what I did work-wise to pay for my career, to forward my career. And The Sound of Music, as a child of 12 years of age, was a very interesting experience, because I saw myself to a bus every day, and I went up to London, and then I went to school in the morning and did the academic side. In the afternoons, I left for the theatre, and I did that for 18 months. And it was a fantastic discipline for a child to learn about life. And also, there was a certain number of the children that were on stage, and they had to have relief every week, so the understudies went on. And when the children that were on, the understudies worked for them, and the children that were off, they worked for them. So you learnt the discipline of what it was like to be on stage and to be in the spotlight and to be the star, and what it was like the second night to actually be the person who looked after the star. So I know all about that.
It's you left Great Britain for a while, and you had a spell over in California. What was the reasons for going over there? Was it purely a family move, or was that your decision?
For 12 years, and that was career-oriented. After I made Straw Dogs, I went to California at the time when the Oscars were on, and they were promoting me for that, which was wonderful. And I stayed there for 12 years. I mean, on and off. I came home whenever I could, but I really lived there for 12 years. And that was, it was a wonderful place to live, and my career thrived there. It was with its absolute peak whilst I was over there. I made a lot of Hollywood movies, but I always knew that I wanted to come home again to Great Britain. And when Simon and I married in 1984, we then came home together, which was great, and built our home again here, and that's when we have built our stud farm and has continued from there.
I'm glad you mentioned Straw Dogs, because obviously you're a very established actress when that particular film came out. What was it like, though, being cast opposite Mr. Hoffman in that film?
Well, fabulous, because he's a very enigmatic actor and an extraordinarily generous actor, too. We had some wonderful... The making of that movie was a very interesting one. Very charismatic people. The charisma of the people certainly made the movie. Also very fractious, very exciting. But it was an important time in my life and an important movie, and something that I think has never lost its importance within time. I think it's still as important movie now as it ever was.
Just staying on the world of acting briefly, I want to talk to you about Simon now, actually. You said you married in 1984. Is he anything like any of his characters he's portrayed on the television?
Well, that's really difficult. We always take... When you're acting, you always take a part of yourself too. You never put down a certain person and then walk in and become somebody completely different. You always take a part of yourself. So I see lots of things about Simon in what he does at work, and I see lots of things that aren't him at all, that are to do with the part that he plays and the character that he's playing. But you always take something of yourself, and that's what makes you special. That's what makes you an enigmatic TV or film performer, taking part of yourself. That's what you're bought for. That's
Absolutely.
What they pay the big money for.
See, everybody thinks of Simon, of course, in Casualty, but correct me if I'm wrong, who remembers the TV show General Hospital? There's a few of you. Yeah, you're with me. You did a short stint in that, didn't you? It must be
Even I didn't know that.
Did you not?
No, 70, I'm looking surprised.
73, 74 sort of time, Simon?
I think you're accurate. Yes. I think I did four episodes when I was right at the beginning of my career. I mean, that's the General Hospital in the English version, of course. There was there was one in America which I didn't do. Now, I think I did four episodes way back in... That was 70 what, something or other, anyway.
What would you say, Simon, have been sort of your most interesting role? Because you did a little bit of a stint in Falcon's Crest as well, didn't you, for a while?
Yeah, I did 2 years on Falcon Crest in California. I think it's always difficult to say what is the most interesting thing you've ever done, because actually, for whatever reason, they all have something special about them. Mm. So, I mean, Death on the Nile as a movie to shoot in Egypt was extraordinary. I mean, Egypt is extraordinary in itself, but then to work with that in company with Bette Davis and David Niven and Peter Ustinov, Angela Lansbury, Maggie Smith, I mean, the list goes on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, to do that when I was 25 years of age was an amazing experience. But other films like Riddle of the Sands, which I did with Michael York and Jenny Agutter, which was just a more intimate little film, was equally exciting to do. And I mean, everything goes on and being the same. And Casualty, which I've been in now for 6 years, I mean, it's a great team. It's a wonderful experience to work on that basis. The medical stuff is quite fun to try and get one's mouth around most of the time. But, you know, they're all challenges and they're all great.
Now, this week at Horse of the Year show, you're down here, obviously, with Susan, of course. But you, for those of you who stay on the Sunday night for the gala performance, Simon, of course, you are the voice of the horse's prayer. And it is such an emotional moment. When you speak on that microphone and everybody's hanging, Susan's not in agreement, it's an unbelievable atmosphere. How did you get involved with that? Was that through Susan? How long have you been doing that for us now?
Well, I've been doing it for as long as Susan's been president of the show.
For 9
actually.
Years,
yes,
yeah.
Mark and Mike asked if I would do it the first year, and I have now done it for 9 years. So.
Do you enjoy coming
in? I've now taken sort of control of it. I don't like it when anybody else does it.
Do you ride at all? Have you the same interest
with
the horses?
Appallingly badly, a little bit like Susan's first horse. I think rusty is a very good word for it.
Susan, I'm going to come back to you for me, because you've just had, I know you've had a really busy run of it lately, and you've just had a 10-day run, I think it was, at the Petley Fine Arts exhibition. Tell me about that, because your paintings were there and looking good.
Yes, it's photography, actually. It's all photography, but some of it is etching work, which is a very, very complicated process that was born in the 1800s. And I've taken pictures for years and years and years, and professionally, this is very important to me. It's a new journey for me, and I love it because I love my subjects. And therefore, I hope that I show that I love my subjects in everything that I've photographed. In fact, we've had some people on the stand who have come and have actually been in tears over the pictures. And that's really important to me, because that's what it's supposed to be about, is showing the charisma and the magnitude of these incredible creatures, how beautiful they look, the shapes, the colors, the vitality, as I said to you, the power and the strength of these animals. And most of them on our stand are our horses that we have bred. I bred at a Georgian Arabian, so they're all Arabians. But I have done, and I'm expecting to do some commissions for people. I didn't know that, but I've just learnt that I am doing some private commissions for some people on certain horses, other horses. But it's been an amazing experience for me. We opened last week. Petley Fine Art is a fine art gallery who sells paintings, and that's what they do. And for the first time in their life, this exhibition has been a photographic exhibition. They have never done that before. They've never exhibited photographic work. So it's a first for them and a first for me, and it's been a huge honor. We had our opening last Tuesday night, had a big opening in London with 250 people. 250 people the following night, and it's been a sellout exhibition, which has been really, really exciting. And of course, for me, I've been doing press all week and going on television and doing all the things you'd naturally do in the case of something like this. And it's all about promoting, yes, the pictures, but promoting the horse at the end of the day. And I think if you see any of you who'd like to see our stand, it's over in the far corner on the left-hand side. But we have some of the exhibits of the work that I've done that is there today. We've brought it straight from the gallery. It's not all of it, not by any means, but we have a little screen also in the corner that you can actually see and feel the experience of the horses, which we put together, which we absolutely love. For me, the titles of the pictures are terribly important too, because they are what the horses meant to me at the time I took the picture. If I take the picture and I love the image, then I put a title to it, and that's a very important part of it too.
Have you all been over to the stand and had a look at the work over there? If you haven't, you need to go over. Honestly, it's amazing. I love going down and chatting to you guys on there, which I do most years. And it is really fascinating to go down.
Do go over and look. It's certainly worth a look. We brought a very small gallery selection, as I say, over in the far corner, but it's certainly worth looking at the pictures. And if nothing else, to look at these images coming up, because That's special indeed. We had several people going away from our stand crying yesterday, not for the wrong reasons, for all the right reasons.
Simon
the
shouted at
these
them.
Horses.
Final question, because I know you've got a busy day today, as I have, and I so thank you for spending some time with
not
us this
all.
Afternoon. You've had the most amazing life in the world of entertainment, in the world of horses, and I know it's a very busy life. Is there an autobiography on the way? Have you started it?
Well, it's not funny you should say that. I'm being pressured to do just that
right now.
By a major publishing house, and the only difficulty for me is absolutely time.
Yeah.
Of course, time is the ever-important thing in life, which is why I always say to somebody, if you spend any of your time giving to someone else, which we all do, it's a very important thing, because time is the most important thing you can give of yourself. And this autobiography would take, no doubt, an awful lot of time to write. But I do want to do it. More than anything, Simon wants me to do it. He thinks that my life in Hollywood for all the years that I lived there, and it was the great time of
Absolutely.
Hollywood, the really great years, and so that I should sit down and write it. And he keeps on at me to do it, and I'm absolutely convinced that I will. I've said to him I will start next year. So next year, the beginning of next year, is when I will begin to write it, and I'm sure it'll be in the shops by the end of the year with a bit of luck.
I hope you don't take too long doing it. Susan, Simon, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Thank you for being part of such a wonderful show. It means a lot to a lot of people having used the present. And Simon, tonight, you know you're going to make every eye in the house fill up when you talk later on. And thank you for joining us this afternoon. Simon Corkindale, Susan George, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for being such a lovely presenter.